May 7th, 1840, a tornado formed southwest of Natchez, Mississippi. It moved north along the Mississippi River and struck Natchez. It killed 317 people. Okay, the actual number of casualties were much higher because in pre-Civil War Mississippi, slave deaths didn't matter. They didn't get counted. March 18th, 1925. Tornado began in southeastern Missouri, crossed through southern Illinois, and then turned into southwestern Indiana. The 625 deaths made this the deadliest tornado in U.S. history. More than 2,000 were injured. The tornado left a 219-mile track, which is the longest ever recorded. May 3rd, 1999. The day started sunny, warm, and humid. Early that morning, the Storm Prediction Center issued a slight risk for severe weather across the affected region. By late morning, the forecast began to indicate an increasing likelihood of widespread severe weather. And the Storm Prediction Center upgraded sections of the southern plains to moderate risk. By 3 p.m., it had become evident that a widespread severe weather event was imminent. Parts of Oklahoma were upgraded to high risk. High risk meant that there was great potential for significant severe weather, including tornadoes. Large supercell thunderstorms developed, and in the late afternoon through mid-evening hours of that Monday, an unprecedented number of tornadoes began to break out across the state. The most significant of the almost 60 tornadoes of the outbreak began southwest of a small community called Amber. Then it headed northeast, parallel to Interstate 44. The storm continued moving northeast, destroying the community of Bridge Creek and crossing I-44 just north of Newcastle. The tornado then crossed the Canadian River, passing into far southern Oklahoma City. The tornado continued on into the city of Moore and then passed over Interstate 35 and back into Oklahoma City. The storm then turned more northerly, striking parts of Bell City, Midwest City, and Tinker Air Force Base. Warnings were issued well in advance of the tornado's arrival, and the Oklahoma City broadcast media interrupted programming to follow the storms on radar, and they even followed them with helicopters. More than 10,500 buildings and 47 businesses were destroyed. 36 people were killed in this tornado. With the highly populated area being destroyed, the death toll would have easily reached record numbers if people had not been warned so far in advance. But it wasn't just the warnings being broadcast out to the world. The people had to listen to what was said. They had to believe what they heard, and then they had to respond to what they were told. Warnings allowed people to prepare, unlike the historical disasters of the past. Ancient Israel, they had their warning system too. God gave the world the prophets. Now, the prophets were loud, often obnoxious. They were drawing attention because they wanted God's word to be heard. Most of the time, the prophets weren't listened to. In today's gospel, we heard the words of the prophet Isaiah being rebroadcast by the prophet John the Baptist, being the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." The storm is brewing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And people believed it. People from Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. They believed it enough to leave the safety of their home and walk out, journey out into the wilderness. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This warning is being broadcast to the world. Is it for us or only for the ears of long ago? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Are we listening? Do we believe it? Do we have a response that bears fruit worthy of repentance? John told them, "Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.'" Don't presume to yourself just because we come here weekly. So what did they need to repent? Well, John was calling them to repent because they were not living into who God called them to be as a people. They were not being the light to lighten the nations. They were not being bringers of hope. Repent. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Advent is a great time for us to hear this warning. We need to be reminded that the kingdom of heaven, that God, that Christ, come near. But what do we need to repent? Now, I'm sure that you have your individual things that you could probably name. I could. I think we all could. But we can turn to the early church. We can turn to Paul and the letter to the Romans that we heard today to help remind us of what it means to be who we're called to be, which is also the light to lighten the nations and to be bringers of hope. It says, whatever was written in former days was written for our instructions. Well, hey, that still applies. It's written for our instructions so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant to you to live in harmony with one another. We're called by God to live in harmony with one another, and not just because it's a nice thing to do, but the Scripture tells us because it's in accordance with Christ Jesus, that as believers and followers of Jesus were to live in harmony with one another. That's not just the people sitting next to you. And we're supposed to do this because we are to come together as one voice. Paul's telling them about this because, like today, there were different groups of people walling themselves in for protection, whatever the case may be, but there were big two groups, right? Jews and the Gentiles, separated, but even within those groups, all kinds of little subgroups of people. They were not one, they were separated, just as the Jews were over here with the Sadducees and the Pharisees and others, right? Paul's saying, no, in Christ, we are to come together with one voice, and not just to have a voice, but we're to glorify God with it. We just don't come together and be quiet. We're to welcome one another. To truly welcome in the other. And so for them, the Jewish and the Gentiles, for us, it's us and those who are not like us. Those who think differently than us. Can also branch all the way out to different faith systems, whatever you may want to tie it in, whatever little category that's there, these scriptures are still written for our instruction. We're still called to welcome one another. But not just being welcome, Paul takes it further, right? Because we're to welcome one another just as Christ has welcomed you. Advent. Again, good time to hear this reminder of who we are being called to be. Because the storm's brewing. And as the storm continues to build, we're reminded by the last words in today's epistle reading. We carry these with us, that may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.